Philippians 1, verse 6. You could turn with me in your Bibles or your apps or your iPads, whatever you're using. Or if you've been paying attention the last month and a half, you can quote it with me. Philippians 1, verse 6 says this: being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, sometimes we don't take a moment to just sit and breathe and maybe celebrate some of the things God is doing, but God has been moving in this church and in this community. He has been. If you've been to one of the last few prayer meetings, God has moved in these prayer meetings. And I believe that the things we're seeing in the services and outside of the prayer meetings are a result of the prayers of us as a family, a community, getting together in God's throne room and praying and petitioning him. We started praying something. It was a very simple prayer about 4 months, 5 months ago. And we started saying, God, send the needy to us and send us to the needy. And wouldn't you believe it, people have been showing up at our church randomly. I don't think it's random. I think it's God, right? Just the other Sunday, we had two people speaking in tongues at the end of service. And here's the cool part. Like, that's really neat, yeah. It was after the altar call. Like, everybody was around talking, and these people were just hungry for God. There was something in it, and God met them in that moment. There was a man that came this past Sunday on Father's Day, and he came to be baptized. God is moving in this community. He's moving in this service. And I'll tell you, he's moving in my life. I can only imagine for you that if you are plugging in, if you are embracing that God has already started a good work in you, and you can start feeling some confidence in that, then you'll start to see that, and you'll start to notice that in your life too. And maybe some of the things he's doing is like, hey, I got to adjust a little something, Peter. Hey, this thought process is a little off. But we're being sensitive to it. It's just really cool to see what's going on. For those of you that have we've been starting to do some announcements, and I'm going to open up my phone here. I'm not texting anybody. This is what I'd like you to do. Open up your phone if you're here and you got the Church Center app. Okay, I do recommend the Bible app. It's very nice. The Church Center app, and when you go to the Church Center app, go to the very bottom. There's a bar. There's a little house that says home. A little like crooked baseball field or a dollar that says give. A circle with three dots that says groups, and click on groups. And when you click on that, somewhere in there, I have a lot of groups that I'm in, but there should be one that says volunteer opportunities. Sister Martha's got a slide for us. It should be a brown group with two hands holding the heart. It says volunteer opportunities. How many people don't see that group? It's under unique groups. See, thank you all. Thank you. So you might need to find it there. How many people still don't see it? Even after Sister April's help. So if you scroll to the very bottom, it says find a group. Connection groups, ministries, extension works, education, and unique groups. Go to the, you see the unique groups? Anybody still struggling to find it? Did you find it? You got it, Brother Daniel? I see you waving your phone. Look at this. He's just waving it to tell us. So click on that volunteer opportunities group. Now we're all in it, so we're going to crash the system, Brother Phil. Some of you, if you haven't seen it yet, when you click on it, there's a bottom thing. You might say, join group. There might be a button. So click and join that group if you'd like. Okay, I'm going to explain it to you what it is here in just a minute. But this is an opportunity for us as a church to volunteer for things and to have communication on those volunteers. So if you haven't figured it out tonight, we're going to do a little bit of everything here. We're going to do a little business, a little admin, a little preaching, a little teaching, go through a little bit of different things. Okay, so but we're starting out with this. So if you have that group, And Phil might be accepting joins right now from everybody. But when you open up the group, you can go ahead and open up the group. There's chats. And if you click on the chats and you go to view all, we'll say actually for the chats at the bottom of this group. Am I going too fast? Is people keeping up with me? You know where we're going? Once you get in the group, you go to chats. You'll notice there's 7 new chats. These are opportunities for you to go in there if you're interested. And listen, after tonight, if you want to delete this group out of your phone, you delete it. No one's making you be in this group. This is just for you to be aware of opportunities that exist to volunteer in your church, okay? And so we're starting this out because with this funeral and with a lot of people coming through this weekend, we've been trying to roll this app out, soft roll it out for the next month, but we're now using this as an opportunity to let people know of opportunities that exist to volunteer. So when you go in here, you'll see a couple things. First off, on Friday, they're not in order because people respond to them. But if you open one up on Friday on 6:20 from 5 to 7 p.m., look at that one. You see Brother Phil noted that four people are needed to help with food prep in the kitchen. So that means it's on 6:20 from 5 to 7. Four people are needed for food help prep in the kitchen. And the point person will be Brittany Waters. So look, Sister Rachel Novak and Sister Fiona Demas already said I can help. And once we get two more, then Sister Brittany will start communicating in that chat group about what's going on for that volunteer. That's the 20th. Two more, that's right. On Friday the 20th, we need eight people from 5 to 7 to help set up tables and chairs. So it's probably going to take less time than that if we get eight people. But we just need people that say, hey, we're putting a big tent in the parking lot. It's going to be out here in the side parking lot so that the elderly and people with accessibility that need accessibility can go right out into the lot. And so we need help setting tables and chairs up out there Friday afternoon from 5 to 7, Friday night from 5 to 7. So if you can do that, you go right in there and say, I can help. I will help, right? And then you'll get more information as you go, but we're trying to let you know the date and the time period that we need you for. Two more that are in there is Saturday from 12 to 1:30. We need four people to help in the kitchen, to help Sister Brittany in the kitchen. That's just doing some more prep. That's on Saturday. It's from 12 to 1:30. So it's kind of final prep as they're getting the food ready because that's during the visitation. And then on Saturday on 21st, we need 20 people or whoever can help from 5:30-ish to 7-ish for cleaning. So we need 20 people that will say, hey, I'll stick around. I'll help take up chairs, clean, throw the trash away, be a part of making God's property look good and do my part. I think this is a great opportunity to honor our bishop, Brother Grant, and help the family because we want to take care of our home and God's home that we have here. So if you'd like to sign up, you could do that one. And that one will be Brother Spence is going to be leading that charge. So once we get all the names, we'll know who it is, and then he'll tell you where to meet after the funeral, and then he'll give you assignments, okay? And then on tomorrow or Friday, we need people throughout the day that want to. And we recognize we're asking for what we need. If it fills up, great. If it doesn't, great. We're going to work it out. We're going to make it work. But Thursday or Friday, the 19th through the 20th, we need people throughout the day, whatever time works for you, to do some yard work and inside cleaning. So that means, Brother Phil, will you come in or put it on the app and he'll say, here's the list. What can you get done with the time you have? Or what are you comfortable doing? You might say, hey, I'm not super mobile. Could I sit and pull weeds or something? Maybe that's an option, right? So there's things to do, and that will be given if you sign up for that. So does everybody see how that works? Does that make sense? Okay. So if you don't know how to get on the app, find Brother Phil tonight, and he'll make sure you get on. And then if you're having trouble with the entering in stuff into the chat, just find one of us. Find somebody that looks younger than you, and they'll help you. I go to Sophie, so she's younger than me. I know it. She can help me. She's already helping me in the app, and she doesn't even have a phone yet. She's 13, so. Okay, so two more things, though. We are Bishop loved pies, and so one of the things we're doing is we're trying to provide all the pies for this funeral. And so we have got so many people that have volunteered to make pies. We need 32 more pies for the funeral. We don't expect one. Yeah, Jack, you're already making some. Don't volunteer for more, okay? He makes a mean blueberry, okay? But we need 32 more pies. So you'll see that in the app. If you're willing and able, sign up to do a couple more pies. And then tonight after church, for those of you who have children going to junior high camp, I want to meet with everybody in the fellowship hall. Sorry, in the hospitality room. But anybody that's able, we need to take down tables and set up chairs over there. Shouldn't take long if we have a good group of strong people. Right? I'm looking at you guys. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. Right? And so we'll go over there and just Brother Phil and Sister Jess will be over there and they can direct you to set up chairs. What do you guys think? Does this make sense? It's a lot in one night, but we got a big event coming. So if you can't do it, don't feel bad. Don't beat yourself up because you had a schedule in advance. You know, we don't get a chance to plan some of these events right in advance. But if you can and there's an opportunity, you say, hey, I can donate this hour. Or I can be a part of this. I can get a pie. Please do. It's really awesome, and we really appreciate your help. Praise God. Okay. I got to put away my phone so Phil doesn't send me text messages while I'm preaching. Yes, you would. That's why I turn on the do not disturb. So Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. We've talked about how that God has started a work in you and that it's a good work and he will complete it, but we have to submit to his working. And we've talked about all this. I'm not going to rehash all that. And so this idea we've talked about is that God is doing a good work in us. But in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, he's doing a work in us, that we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So not only is God doing a work in us, he's also doing one through us, or wants to do one through us. It's the same idea. He is planning and has a good work for our lives that he wants to do in us, and he has a good work he's planned to do through us, but we have to submit to this work. And so I think about what this looks like practically, and you know that the theme for this year, if maybe you don't, the theme for this year is a good work. And I've kind of laid that out very quietly, very, very simply there, right? But what I haven't started to share, and I'm just sharing it now, and I know it's June, but you know I'm just starting, so this is the beginning of my year, right? The focus that we want to have for a church, the focus that God has put on my heart for this church, for this year, is yes, the theme is a good work, but the focus is on two things. It is on prayer, and is on meeting the needs in our community. Those are our two focuses. We think about prayer and we think, well, what does it look like? What do you mean? Well, God's doing a work in us, but if you're not praying, if you're not spending time with God, if you're not meditating and spending time in his word, there's not much working in there, right? We need to be a church of prayer. And so when we talk about the focus of prayer, our mission for this year for prayer is to keep prayer at the center of all we do as individuals, as leaders, and as a church, becoming people, families, and a community deeply grounded in prayer. Prayer needs to be what we do when we're going through something difficult. Prayer needs to be something we do when we're going through normal life, when we're in our highs or when we're in our lows, when things make sense, when they don't make sense, when we're at church, when we're not at church. Prayer needs to be the center of everything we do. We talked about it on Mother's Day, and we talked about it on Father's Day, that we have all this stuff in our lives, but what are we going to do with that other time? And I'm not suggesting we pray 24 hours a day. I'm not saying that'll hurt. I'm just saying I'm not suggesting that. But we need to be a church of prayer. And so what does that look like? Short of me just saying, pray more, because that's step one. But also, we are going to be a church who has focused, specific, engaging prayer meetings. The idea of the prayer meeting is that we are praying together, but we're also learning about prayer as we're here. Because I learn when Sister Jessica prays, I'm picking something up. When Brother Phil prays, I'm picking something up. I remember when Sister Vicky came, this is how I've learned to pray. I pray, but then Brother Bustard was here once and he started praying. So I'm like, that's good. You know, like I see how he's, it's no different than when I pick up somebody giving a compliment to their wife. It's like, that's a good guy. I should use that. Like I wanna think that these thoughts when I'm not copying, it's not vain repetitions, but it's like that's how I feel. I just didn't have those words for it, and so I'm learning some prayer. So we're gonna be a church where our prayer meetings are focused and specific and engaging. We're gonna begin prayer walks in this community. We're gonna begin prayer walks in this Madison community and in our church plant communities. And you know what? Our first walk is coming on July 12th. So, take your phones out again. I think we have a slide for this one too, Sister Martha. Take your phones out again. Our first prayer walk is July 12th from 9 to 11 a.m. It's not a full month away. No one's going to crucify you because you already had something scheduled. But if you can make it and you want to be a part of what God is doing, put this in your calendar. Save the date. We're going to be announcing this. And then what's going to happen is in the prayer meeting on July 11th, a Friday night at 7 p.m., we're going to be going through this in detail. This isn't going to be a random get in your car and drive around. We are going to have a plan for where we are praying, what we are praying, how we are praying, and who's praying in what areas. This has to be, it's almost like a military strike. We have to have a, not, I don't mean that we're not going to hurt people. You know what I'm saying? But there has to be a plan. Like, this is the community we are praying for and we are reaching. And we need a group here and we need a group at this park and this apartment complex. And when we go to this area, we're going to pray these prayers. And when we go to this park, hey, maybe if there's trash, we'll pick that trash up. We're going to be a part of this community. This community is going to start seeing this church out in the community. We'll get more to that in a little. Prayer meetings, prayer walks. We're going to start refreshing our pre-service prayer. I know we all work. Believe me, I work. I get it. But Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, in the coming months, the idea is to refresh the prayer at pre-service so we can have our hearts and our minds right as we begin to get into God's presence, as we begin to minister to the people that come into this church. If this is your first time here, this is Wednesday nights, or it's kind of talking to the family. And so you're getting to see kind of family talk. It's like a family check-in, as it were, like I have with my kids. I announced it in prayer meeting last week, but we will have a 24/7 prayer room that is available to be used 24/7. We just asked that you would sign, you'd talk to Brother Phil, say, hey, I'd reach out to him, say, I'd like to get access. It's a code into the building, and we'd have you sign something so you understand the requirements. It's not something big. It's just like, hey, don't go through the doors. Here's how to get out of the building. Simple stuff, right? But this place is going to be a house of prayer. And if you need a place to pray, you should have a place in your home. Okay? I'm for that. But there's times, like Sister Jessica said, that you might want to come in here. Maybe you work a weird shift and on the way home you want to say, I'm going to stop and pray. Maybe you work an early shift and you say, I'm going to stop and pray. I don't know, but it's going to be available for you. This place will be a house that is available for prayer. And then later this year, we're going to be planning a 24-hour prayer kind of loop where everybody's signing up to be a part of an hour. And we're just going to pepper, if I can say it that way, pepper this community with prayer. We are going to be a church of prayer because I believe when we talk about God doing a work in us, it doesn't happen if we're not talking to him. And so if you want to lean into God doing a work in your life, if you want to lean into the work he's already started and wants to complete, it's going to happen in prayer. Prayer. But Ephesians 2:10 says that he wants to do something through us too. So it's in us and it's through us. I'm going to do some rapid fire scriptures here. I didn't even give them to Sister Martha because I didn't want her to feel the stress of trying to put these all up. But have you ever read through the Gospels and you start to see some themes or some patterns and you're like, wow, Jesus said a lot of things that were similar, or I'm starting to pick something up? And I took these notes one time and I said, and I wrote to myself, Jesus came to ... What did Jesus come to do, right? In John 10:10, it says he came to give people life and to give them more abundantly. Now, there's going to be a test, so pay attention. Don't take notes, but pay attention, right? In John 10, it says, I've come that they might have life and they might have life more abundantly. John 6:38, he says, I've come to do the will of him that sent me. Luke 19:10 says he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Matthew 20:28, he said he's come to serve. In Luke 14:13, he's telling people to do this, but I'm going to count it. He says, go quickly in the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. He has come for the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. He's come to go out into the city and bring them in. Luke 15:2, he meets Zacchaeus and he says, I got to go to his house. So he's come to welcome and eat with sinners. Jesus came for the little children in Luke 18:16. In John 1:9, Jesus came to give light to everyone. Whoever will. Whoever believes on him. Everyone. In John 4:34, he said he came to finish God's work. We talked about it a couple of Sundays ago, the work of reconciliation. From the time Adam and Eve decided to break that communion with God, God said, we need to build back this bridge. That's reconciliation. And Jesus said, I've come to do that same thing. I've come to finish the work that he started by dying on the cross. So that's complete and everybody can cross that bridge. In John 6, he said he came to feed the hungry. In Matthew 9:13, he came to call sinners to repentance. In John 7:37, he said he came to quench the thirsty. In John 8:10, he came not to condemn sinners. Oh, but what if they're sinning? No, I came not to condemn sinners. That's Jesus' words, not mine. This isn't some evangelical message. This is Jesus saying, I'm not here to condemn sinners. I'm here to quench the thirsty. In John 8:12, I'm here to give the light of life. And in Luke 4:18, he gets up, he opens up the Bible, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. You start to see all these things together, and we see what Jesus came to do. He came for other people. Everything he came to do was for other people, whether it was the blind and the maimed or the children, whether it was the dirty and the sinners or the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He came for other people. And when you read the verses, there's some verses where he says, I must. And there's a whole bunch of those. This is not an exhaustive list in either one of these. But in John 4:4, he says, I must go through Samaria. Now, we find out later that if you would have finished that sentence, he said, I must go through Samaria because there's a woman that needs to hear from me. There's a woman that needs my touch. There's a community that's going to be changed because I was willing to go where no one was willing to go. In John 19:5, he said, I must stay at your house, Zacchaeus. Whoa, hold on. You're going outside of your little circle of friends, Jesus. These are your disciples and followers. This is your church. You're leaving the circle to go talk to the cheater and the liar and the sinner, and you're going to go in his house. You're going to go in his house. He didn't say, I should go. I'd like to go. He said, I must go. He was compelled to go to Samaria with the people that no one wanted. He was compelled to go to Zacchaeus' house with the man that was cheating and lying to people. In John 9:4, he said, I must work the work of him that sent me. Reconciliation. I must do what God started. I got to finish the reparations of this relationship with people. And that's just what he said. That's just the words he said. I'm going to read through some of these. I'm going to be in and out, but we're going to talk about it in just a second. Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left. The man with leprosy had leprosy. That was redundant. He touched him and said, be cleansed. The centurion's servant was paralyzed in suffering and he spoke healing from a distance, but he was still with the centurion. A paralyzed man was lowered through the roof and he forgave his sins and told him to walk. A man with a withered hand, Jesus told him to stretch out his hand. A woman with an issue of blood, Jesus didn't even realize it till after she touched him. He wasn't there. Maybe he was, and we just didn't understand the grand concept. But he was going somewhere, and a woman with the issue of blood touched his garment and was healed by faith. Jairus' daughter was dead, and he took her by the hand and raised her up. Two blind men had their eyes. He physically touched their eyes, and they could see. A blind and a mute demon-possessed man, he cast out a demon. The Canaanite woman's daughter was demon-possessed, and he spoke healing from a distance. The deaf man with a speech impediment, he put fingers in his ears, he spit, he touched his tongue, and said, be opened. The blind man at Bethesda, he spit on his eyes and laid hands on him. He rebuked an unclean spirit. He made mud and put it on eyes and told a man to wash in the pool of Siloam, and he was healed from his blindness. He told a crippled man who'd been waiting for healing for 38 years to, he sees this man, he meets this man, he's looking at him, come on, get up and walk, and the man gets up and walks. He lays hand on a woman with a crippling spirit, and she's healed. The 10 lepers, he heals them of leprosy. He tells them to go to the priests, and they were healed on the way. Blind Bartimaeus is sitting by the road, and Jesus is chilling with his friends, walking down the street, and he's screaming out, Jesus, have mercy! And they're like, be quiet. He's doing the work of God. He's in church right now. He's sharing the gospel right now. This is not a time for needs. Jesus healed his blindness. Right before he goes on the cross, Peter cuts off someone's ear and he touches his ear and he heals it. He spoke healing at a distance for the royal official's son and healed it at that hour. What do you see in these stories? What do you see in these stories? What do they all have in common? What? Faith, yeah. Jesus did. But what I see is where Jesus was. God was working through Jesus, but Jesus was in his community meeting needs. Jesus was in Zacchaeus' house. He was out there with the woman that committed adultery. He was there with the people that were blind. He was getting down in his hands and knees in the dirt where people didn't want to go. He was in Samaria. Jesus was not in church. Jesus was not in church. Yes, he did go to church. Don't put that in a viral TikTok clip saying Pastor Peter says don't go to church. I'm saying that Jesus took the gospel out of the church walls. Jesus met their needs where they were. I remember Brother Putnam, one of our past superintendents, he preached a message one time, or he taught a message, and he said, why did the crowds follow Jesus? Why did they follow him? And I'm sure you could all come up with good answers, but I really like his answer. He said, because he met their needs. And he met their needs where they were at. He didn't meet their needs where they should be. Well, could you shower first? Could you put some clothes on first? Could you come out of Samaria and meet me? Hey, Zacchaeus, let's go meet in the church. Let's go meet by the police station. He met them at their needs where they were. Church, can I say that Jesus was close to these people? He was close to these people. Look at this. He touched them. He took them by the hands. He spoke to them. He was touched by them. He met them where they were, not where he wanted them to be or where they might be someday. He didn't wait for them. But church, sometimes we're waiting for people to put a tie on and get into this building before we meet them. We're waiting for people to put a dress on and start not being a prostitute before we'll go there and not judge them and offer them forgiveness. We're waiting for people to start seeing before we start healing blindness. He met them where they were. He spoke to them. He touched them. He put fingers in their ears. He spit on them. He laid hands on them. This was not a clean business. Jesus got dirty. I wish I did a study about how many times Jesus was down in the dirt, because you see it when he's writing in the dirt. You see it when he's taking dirt out multiple times and putting it in people's eyes and ears and all this weird stuff. Jesus was not afraid to get dirty. He wasn't afraid to go to Zacchaeus' house or to the Samaritan woman's house. He wasn't afraid to touch the lepers, the most unclean people at the time. I don't know who you consider the most unclean people of our time, but Jesus would have gone to them. And he would have showed them love with grace and truth. Jesus met people at their needs, and he shared the message of eternal life with them. But you know, when we do it the other way around, it usually doesn't work the same way. I'm just reading what I see. It's Jesus met their needs and shared the gospel with them. That's love. He met their needs where they were at. Does that make sense? He met their needs where they were. And so if we're going to meet people's needs where they are, church, we got to get out of these doors. We got to get off of this property. Please come to church on Sunday morning, okay? Don't go starting your own healing ministry. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we as a community, if we are going to follow Jesus, we have to be out of these doors. We cannot claim to be a church that follows Jesus and his teaching if we are not doing the same things he was doing. We need to start looking up and past our own lives and our own church and look out to the harvest. That's why he said, lift up your eyes. Because too often we're looking down at our problems. We're looking down at our life. We're looking down at our church. Well, sister so-and-so said this to me, and brother so-and-so said this, and there's a speck of dirt on the church floor. Who didn't clean that? And he said, look up. Quit looking at that other stuff. Look up. There's stuff out there. There's people out there, but they're there. They're not here. We need to start looking up. So we see that Jesus prayed and Jesus met needs. We see the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God working in us. And to love your neighbor as yourself. God working through us. We see our theme is a good work in us and a good work through us. And so our focus is prayer and meeting, finding and meeting needs in our community. Does that make sense? It's two focuses. It's prayer and finding and meeting needs in our community. And they align with the Great Commission, love God, love others. They align with our theme, God working in us and God working through us. And they go hand in hand. Because if we're going to do a work in our community, we need God's Spirit inside of us. We need to be a church that prays. Because otherwise we're going to get out there and we're going to try to be God and share God's message and give and be with people in the Holy Spirit. And they'll be like, well, I know Paul. And I know Peter, and I know, but who are you? Because there's no power behind it. Because it's just helping people. It just looks cool. It's a great Facebook post. I don't care about Facebook posts. I don't care about Instagram posts. I'm not in it for the likes. I'm in it because I want to see people changed. And I want to meet their needs. And so our focus is prayer and finding and meeting needs in our community. And so we talked about prayer. We want to keep prayer the center of all we do. Becoming a church, becoming a people and families and a community grounded in prayer. And we talked about all the ways we're going to do that. But when we talk about a focus on meeting community needs, our mission will be to identify and meet the real felt needs of our community face to face. Serving people where they are when they need it with grace and truth. My company does some really cool stuff out there. I really support it. It's really awesome. I signed up one morning to wrap diapers. This is for families that can't afford diapers. You can go wrap diapers. I did it for like 2 hours. We ended up on the news. It's pretty cool. I got a free t-shirt out of it. It's really cool. And it really helped the community. I'm really glad my company does that. I want to be at the face of the needs, church. Jesus was at the face of the needs. Jesus was where people were. And as a church, we need to be where people are. To identify and meet the real felt needs in our community, face to face, serving people where they are, when they need it, with grace and truth. And so that's going to be done two ways. Number one, it's going to be done, we as a church are going to start scheduling some things. And I'm not announcing it tonight, but we got some things in the hopper where we're going to start putting opportunities, say, hey, this church community is going to go out into that community and serve this way. This is a need we found, sign up, let's go meet a need. Yeah, let's be clear, this is different than the volunteer app. The volunteer app is for us just to volunteer and help out your family. That's different. This is being out there meeting needs. But also, on a micro level, we as individuals, God wants to show you the needs that are present in your little circle. In the circle at your work, in the circle at in your home, in your neighborhood. The people you see at Quick Trip every morning when you get your construction workers' breakfast. And so we have to start having that mindset. We got to look up and say, God, help me to see what you want me to see. Help me to see the needs in my community. Not the sinners, not the people, not the weirdos and the losers and whatever you want to call them, because that's not true. Help me to see the needs in the community and help me to meet them. And so as we're going to do this, we're not going to just do prayer walks. We're going to do prayer walks where we're out there in the community. And can I just say, we're not going to do the weirdo prayer walks where we're freaking people out. Let's just trust that Jesus is going to move in these prayer walks. Not because I'm saying some fancy words to somebody. This year we got Summer Fun Fest scheduled in August, August 13th, I believe, Phil, right? Summer Fun Fest. Third. There was a three in it. Third. August 3rd. We got Summer Fun Fest August 3rd. We're going to have mailers going out to this community. Probably close to 4,500 mailers we're going to send out to this. And when I say this community, there's a little map. I'll give it to you someday. But there's a little area around our church that we are going to reach out to. We're going to start talking about Bible studies. We're going to start talking about Bible studies because later this year in September, we're going to start a Bible study training on Wednesday nights. And guess how you sign up? By showing up, because it's going to be right here at this time from this pulpit. You want to see how to teach a Bible study? Come here. You want to receive a Bible study? Come here. Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock. Church, we have to get out of this building. And can I just, I'm just going to, one, thank you for all of your patience as we're kind of working this through, right? But we're going to get out of this building even if we need to stumble out of this building. There's going to be some mistakes along the way. There's going to be some things we don't do perfectly. But God is going to be with us because we are following him and we are getting out of this building. And so don't be worried or afraid or have anything speak into your brain that, well, that wasn't done perfectly. That could have been announced a little earlier. God is still working it. Well, you know, that guy said something weird. It's like, God is still working it. Let me tell you about perfection. I know I'm going long. Let me tell you about perfection. I sat in a service. Have I told you guys this? I sat in a service right where Brother Nick is, sitting right there, and there's a woman sitting right in front of him, okay? Right in front of him, and she was right in front of me, okay? And she was there with her daughter on a Sunday morning, and Bishop Grant was preaching. Okay, some of you heard me tell this story. He gets up, he reads his verse, he starts preaching, she falls asleep immediately. Immediately. Now, he's a good speaker. I don't think I ever fall asleep when he was preaching. Preached the whole time. And I'm sitting back there behind her with this, can't believe she's sleeping in church. These sinners nowadays. My goodness. And I'm telling you, I'm just being honest. I had some not great thoughts. I can't believe she's sleeping. I can't, what in the world? God, why is she sleeping? How is she supposed to, right? Bishop goes, let's all stand. And she goes like this. And she stands up and he says, come to the front. She walks to the front and gets the Holy Ghost on the spot. I think God did that just to teach me a lesson. He knew someday I was going to be preaching. He's like, Peter, I don't need your preaching. Thousands of people were filled with the Holy Ghost when Bishop was our pastor. Thousands. But he's like, I don't need your preaching. It's not about this fancy mumbo jumbo. We need God's spirit to move. That needs to be our focus. And so our goals for this year, hopefully you're keeping along. We'll figure out a way to put this in paper. We'll talk about it again. Focus on prayer. Focus on community needs. And so our goals this year is for prayer meetings. We want to do 8 needs events in this community by the end of the year. That's about one a month. It's not going to be every month, but about one a month. We're going to do prayer walks in each of our church plant communities, 2 of our Madison communities, and Roman's already got a prayer walk scheduled for CMI. And so we're going to have an opportunity to be a part of that. I remember we used to do that, Brother Tim. We'd prayer walk on campus. UW campus, we're going to have a prayer walk. We might as well do one at Madison College too, dude. Maybe Edgewood. Like, let's do all 3. We'll have enough people. We're going to be covering this city with prayer. And we're going to be meeting their needs. Let's all stand tonight. God is doing a good thing already in this church. He has been doing a good thing in this church since the church started. He has been active in this church, in this community for years and years and years. And so he's not looking to do something crazy or different. He's looking to continue it. And the only thing standing in his way, I believe, is not the government. It's not the liberal Madison. It's not the politicians. It's not the sinners. It's us. He's looking for a church that'll get out of these doors, that'll start seeing people as he sees them, that will start trying to sit in heavenly places with God so that they can look out and say, when I'm sitting in heavenly places, I see needs. I see people that need help. And I'm going to go meet those needs. And so this is just a time you could spend some time in prayer. Maybe you're praying for God to open your eyes to start seeing needs. Maybe it's just a reminder you got to start lifting up your eyes because you're focused down. But God is challenging us. He's asking us. He's compelling us to get out of this building. To notice and meet the needs around us and take part in meeting needs of this community. Take some time tonight and talk to God about what he's putting on your heart right now. Just take some time. You can come to the front and pray as she starts singing. You can come to the front and pray. You can sit where you're sitting. But God is speaking to you right now. What has he got to say?
Jesus,
what is your response to his message? Just take some
Jesus
time. Just take some time. Slow down your life for 10 minutes here and just receive what God has for you. He is with you. He is for you. He is in you.
It will always be. It's always been you.